This Week in Retronauts, an episode I know you're going to just dig. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I know. We're here for it. That's what Retronauts is these days. It's classic japes from Stu. It has on the top, and then sort of way underneath, you know, people talking about retro games, I guess. You know. But it's not just me here, as I'm sure you've already surmised. My partner in crime is here, and it's Dave Bullman. Would you like to introduce yourself again, Dave?
It's a shame there isn't a word that rhymes with crime but has to do with lemmings, isn't it?
Oh, God, there isn't one, is there?
No, because then you could be like my partner in...
Lime, like lemming and lime, like lemon and lime.
Okay.
We could do something with that. My partner in lemming and lime. Yeah. I mean, it's not great.
No. Hello, I'm Dave Bulmer, and I'm from a podcast called Sonic the Comic, the podcast, and there you go. That's what I am. I talk about 90s and games and stuff.
It's very good. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Can I just ask listeners and David, can you hear this? Listen to this.
Oh, whoa, a door opened and loads of little lemmings came out of it.
No, that's my chair. That's how loud this chair is. Listen. This is
that
what I have to work
doing,
with.
That was just your bum. Your bum
it wasn't
made that
my
noise.
Bottom. It didn't make that noise with my bottom. Stop
Every
it, David. You're embarrassing
sometimes
me.
Your bum makes that noise and then goes, let's go. And some little poos come out and start walking around your house.
Yeah, well, that's as maybe. But that's not what happened this time, okay? Remember that time that someone pressed the nuke button in there? That was unpleasant for everyone.
For everybody, yeah.
Man, this episode of Retronauts is going to win like some kind of award. I know it is.
We're straight in, aren't we? Yeah,
straight in and straight down the U-bend. That's where we're going. Or into that crocodile. Okay, so yes. Today, as you probably surmised from that barrage of awful toilet humor, we're going to be talking about lemmings. Now, you may be thinking, Stu, you idiot, Jeremy Parrish has already talked about lemmings along with the Retronauts, I want to say, East team.
That is verbatim what I was thinking, including the I want to say bit.
Mm. And also the developers of Lemmings. But this is not something not so high and mighty that we interview the developer. I've tried to interview developers before, and they spray me with Febreze and kick it to me, and I have to run away hissing. but this is just me and the Bulmster.
Yeah.
That's you. Talking about all of the games in the Lemmings series. I'm more... a sort of extensive but possibly quite light and breezy go-around of this rather enormous and bizarre series.
I'll tell you one of the key reasons why this had to be done and needed doing.
Yes.
It's because we, and this, you know, and I'm not throwing any shade here, but
no.
We are from Amiga Land.
Yes.
Aren't we? And like,
yes.
This is, other than your episodes, this is quite an American podcast. And, you know, they're from sort of like Nintendo Land and stuff. We're from Amiga Land, so you got to get some Brits on if you're going to talk about lemmings.
Well, if the Americans are talking about lemmings, they're probably talking about like console lemmings.
Oh, they're probably talking about the SNES version of. I assume there was a SNES version of lemmings.
There was a SNES version of lemmings by a measure of which it could be called a SNES version of lemmings. Yes,
I would not touch that with a barge pole because it needs a mouse. I suppose the SNES had a mouse, didn't it?
Yeah, I think you can use the SNES mouse with it. It's not actually that bad of a version. We'll get to it, though, because we're going to steamroll in. But first, I want to ask you what your sort of origins and lemmings...
Oh, wait a minute. That's actually good.
Yeah, well, I think it's actually one of the names of the levels from Lemmings. So I didn't come up with it.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's good anyway. It's better here, though, unless that level is like about the origin of the species. Like, you've used it better.
I did use it with better context. I agree, yeah. So, but I still, regardless of how I've structured that, I'd like to know what your history with lemmings is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what my history with lemmings is that I have deep connection to the moment when I was, as a Spectrum owning child, a child who basically, you know, I'd seen child BBC
taste,
Micros
taste
on the TV,
yeah.
At school, I mean, yes. And I was watching the telly one day, and on the telly came the Sunshine on a Rainy Day advert. Do you know the one? Do you know
not
the one I mean?
Ringing a bell.
It's the song "Sunshine on a Rainy Day." Makes my soul slip, slip, slip away.
Right.
And during this song, there's a boy who's the coolest guy in the world. He's got flippy flop hair, and he's got an Amiga joystick that he like smacks that joystick left and right. You know, he never just takes it and uses it normally. No, he's whapping it around, and he is like running his hand through his hair. He's being as cool as he possibly can be, whirling around on his spinny chair, and he's playing on the Amiga like cartoon collection or whatever it was called, the Amiga 1200. It's an advert for the Amiga 1200, and in it you've got, you know, Bart Simpson putting sunglasses on, you've got from the intro to the Space Mutants, and you've got a little lemming, his little umbrella over a ledge. And I don't know, just something about that, it hooked me in. I don't know how, I can't remember now how I found out what Lemmings was, but I remember when I first played it, and that was when I got it for what must have been Christmas on the Spectrum, because I was still just a Spectrum kid.
Can I briefly interject, because I have to make this joke before I forget it. It's very important.
Yes.
I earlier was also spinning around in my spinny chair, whacking my joystick left and right and running my fingers through my hair. Hey, Carol, I'm joking. It's a wanking joke.
That's rude.
I know it is a bit
what
rude, isn't
doing?
It? Because that wasn't my joystick really what I meant. It was my knob. That was the joke.
You're dead rude.
I know. This is a very blue episode of Retronauts, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Yeah. You might want to, you could probably just cut that. It was just cheese, puerile. Puerile.
The thing is, that is kind of the energy that this guy is giving off in the advert, you know. And he...
Odinism.
Yeah, exactly. So I got Lemmings for the Spectrum. And whenever I tell people that, they go, Lemmings for the Spectrum! That must have been rubbish! But no, it was just like playing Lemmings, you know? They were good at making games, so they made it work on the Spectrum.
How did they do it without the mouse? Like, what were the controls?
Yeah, I think what it was, and again, same as with console versions, I wouldn't touch this with a barge pole now, but I think you just had cursor controls. I think, you know, because I had a joystick, so I was able to control it with a joystick, which is not great, and it did that thing that all... That may be an incorrect statement to make, and I may only be thinking of this one thing, but it did the thing that is where, in order to control a cursor with cursor keys instead of a mouse, it like starts off going slower and then it speeds up as you move
momentum.
I don't think that's a very good idea. Am I even wrong about that? I haven't played this version since about 1992, so I don't really know.
If anyone has played the Spectrum version of Lemmings and knows whether or not the cursor has a sort of slow start momentum based physics, please get in touch.
Make sure you get in touch and hurry, you know, before the episode goes out so that we can append it to the end. You won't have heard us asking the question, but make sure you do it anyway.
We need to get a fact checking Santa on this. How many lemmings were on the screen in the Spectrum version? That's my other question. Can't have been that many lemmings.
I suppose not. I mean, I didn't count them, but like my memory is that it was just lemmings. Like, but
they had to take out some of the things, so you can't dig, you can't bash, build, block, float, explode.
That's right.
You can only mine. That's the only thing.
What
do you want?
The moon on a stick? Oh, of course you can't do those. You just the guys just walk around and you look at them. That's it. And they wave sometimes.
That would be a fun game.
My friend got an Amiga. We've probably talked about that on the Amiga episode we've already done. And he had obviously Lemming. Everyone
proper
with an
Lemmings.
Amiga had Lemmings. There isn't
I think that's actually true. I don't think there's a single Amiga owner that doesn't have Lemmings. When the Amiga Mini 500 Mini launched and didn't have Lemmings, that was ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Like, make it happen, for Christ's sake.
That's really ridiculous. I mean, presumably you can do nefarious
things.
Yes,
you can
things.
Just put Lemmings on it, yes.
Yeah.
But still, ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. What actually my sort of origin with that is that he made me a little tape.
Brilliant.
He made a tape of music for me, and it had lots of Lemmings music, but it mostly had Oh No More Lemmings music on it.
Oh, not familiar with that.
Oh, well, you are, because last time when we talked about the Amiga, I mentioned it and the editor put some on. But outside of that, I'll reiterate, Everybody go and listen to the Oh No More Lemmings soundtrack from the Amiga. It's real good, but we'll get to that later.
I just like the version of 10 Green Bottles. I think it goes really hard. Yeah, it's brilliant. The way when the drums come in, it's just hard as hell. It's like rave music. I absolutely love it.
Well, it is. It's very rave. It's very punk, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't trouble itself with things like chords.
I remember, my first Lemmings was the DOS version, which in retrospect is just like, what is this? I mean, it was fine. It was essentially feature complete, but the colors were all wrong, you know? The music was all wrong.
Oh, were they?
I mean,
that's a surprise, because I'm to understand that the reason the Lemmings colors were chosen in the first place was because of the limitations of DOS.
Oh, I think, the Lemmings looked okay, but just there's not the depth of color that you would get in the Amiga version with lovely deluxe paint looking.
It really wasn't. PCs weren't that good yet, you know?
No, they were only good enough for Commander Keen and the Wolfenstein.
There was a moment where the Amiga was the only good computer.
Yeah, and that moment was from the beginning of the Amiga to today, 2022.
Yes. it's quite a long moment.
The moment persists, is all I can say. But I don't want to talk extensively about Lemmings 1.
Oh, right. Bye then.
No. More Lemmings. We need to talk about Lemmings 1 a bit, and I feel like we have. But I feel like that ship has sailed to some extent. Those Lemmings have gone into their dragon mouth weird house.
Is it possible that there'll be people listening to this? This is a genuine question, because the answer is probably no.
Yeah.
Is it possible there'll be people listening to this who are fully functional adults who don't know what Lemmings is due to their age being younger than us?
Well, the annoying thing is, Lemmings doesn't have a huge profile these days, and the last major Lemmings release was 2006. So you could, in fact, be in the workforce.
Yes, that's the thing.
And also not know what Lemmings is.
And the thing is, that last major Lemmings release was pretty niche itself. You already sort of had to want to play it and know what it is. Because Lemmings is one of the games. If you put all the games in a list and just eliminated the ones that are unoriginal or unimportant, Lemmings is still there.
Lemmings is so perfect in its concept and its execution that, spoiler, there is no way to improve it. Like everything, every subsequent game, even the ones I like, were sort of chipping away at it and ruining it a bit or a lot.
Possibly,
because they
were
trying to change stuff that didn't need changing.
Yeah, it's like if you added, three more guys to chess or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure that would be interesting, but they sorted out. It's a good game to begin with.
I think we should talk very little about the first game.
Okay.
As I said, because everyone knows it. More or less everyone's played it. If you haven't, it's very easy to do. There are currently lots of interpreters for the thing for the game, like Lemini is one of them, or Win Lemix is another one. Just look them up, and they let you play the game in its Amiga form rather brilliantly and easily on Windows 10 or modern systems. Now, Oh No More Lemmings, however, this is after the first difficulty is tame, and there's no way you're going to fail any of those levels. They're even easier than the fun levels. They're almost impossible to lose if you're even remotely okay at Lemmings. But after Tame, I think, is crazy, the second difficulty setting.
Are the difficulty settings in Oh No different?
They're called Tame, Crazy, Wild, Wicked, and Havoc, I think. And there are 20 levels per each difficulty setting. Now, the thing I want to get across clearly is I am hot shit at the first Lemmings game. Like, I am super good at it. I can beat all of the levels in that game fairly effortlessly now. I mean, some of them are still really hard, like Save Me, but I know how to solve them. I've played that game so much that I am just the don of Lemmings. Oh No More Lemmings, once I get past Tame, I am basically done. Like, I can't do any of the levels after that. They are evil, horrible levels. They take the difficulty from Mayhem and just escalate from there. They're so difficult. They require techniques that the game does not teach you that you need to figure out for yourself.
Oh, really?
Genuinely. They're just utterly mean. And in that sense, I do respect it quite a lot for being so cruel and hateful.
Yes, I mean, it was parallel evolution, the same thought in different brains in different countries, as what gave us the Mario Lost Levels, as yes. Mario 2 in Japan, isn't it? It's like, okay, they've finished that game. They're imagining that you've played all the way through Lemmings and you've got to the top, to the end, and you don't want to start from the beginning again with the next game you play. You don't want to start with the easy ones. You're there for the hard ones, so they start you with that level.
Something missing also from Own and More Lemmings that's in the original Lemmings, and something I admire, mm-hmm. is the fact that in the original Lemmings, sometimes you'll come across the same level again in a later difficulty, as in the same layout, exactly, the same obstacles, the same, you know, terrain, exit in the same place. But the only thing that's changed is your available skills will be severely limited or changed around.
Yeah.
And I think the elegance of that is something missing from Own and More Lemmings. I know it's weird to say I think there should be recycled content, but I don't consider it recycled. I consider it like revisiting an old friend. Like, oh, it's this guy again, except this time I got no bashes. Because many Lemmings levels can be solved using alternative tactics that are probably not the intended tactics. But Own and More Lemmings is just more like, if you don't do this exactly right, you're done. And the time limit also is really tight. Good luck.
Right.
It's a very cruel mean game. And I'm sure Lemmings fans right now are going, what a loser. You can't even beat like crazy. And I truly can't. I cop to it. It's horrifyingly hard.
Well, I mean, so I had both of these when I did get my Amiga not too long after my friend did. And that's me on Lemmings 1. Like, I can't play Lemmings. I can't do it. I can play the first few, you know, most easy levels. And then after that, it's like, no, I'm done. So therefore, I never really perceived a massive difference between the first one and Oh No, which, listeners, was the second Lemmings game they brought out. It was one of those where it was like, you couldn't quite tell if it was a full-blown sequel or an expansion pack until they released a full-blown sequel and called it Lemmings 2. And you were like, oh, I guess that wasn't it then.
Yeah. I mean, you could get it in data disc form and standalone form, I believe. And so that it
ran on the original game.
Then. Yeah, I believe that's the case. I believe it was a straight up expansion.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but also available separately.
And by the way, I have no idea what version I had because it was pirated.
They can't admit
because it was those days, and that was just what you did. So yeah,
I hope you deleted that pirated version after 24 hours. Otherwise, it's illegal.
Well, no, I didn't. But I've been. That's why I did time.
You went to jail for wrongs.
I went to jail. I was 11, and I went
to
jail.
You have been sentenced to life imprisonment for downloading Lemmings.
No, you couldn't download in those days. I had to go round my friend's house and get a copy of the disc done.
For going round your friend's house and getting a copy of the floppy disc.
On X-Copy
Which
Pro.
Has been handwritten on it, Lemmings, and there is only one M in Lemmings.
No, I spelled it correctly.
They have done a mistake.
And I even put, oh no, exclamation mark, more lame. Or someone did. I can't remember if I wrote that.
I would never expect you to make any mistakes on something like that.
On ever. Anything. I've never made a mistake.
I mean, you come on here a few times.
Well, it depends how you define mistake.
Yeah, that's fair. Speaking of steak, I think we should talk about Lemmings 2, The Tribe. That's a very bizarre segue.
Understand how that... Yeah, steak...
You cook up a lemming, have a little lemming steak, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, well, I suppose you could. It's got nothing to do with Lemmings 2, though. But I do like that you did a misdirection by not saying, speaking of mistake, and you said, speaking of steak, which made it seem plausible that you'd thought of something, even though you hadn't.
No, I hadn't at all. It was a comedy... I led you down the garden path, so to speak.
You did.
Lemmings are right down it to the very bottom where all the compost is, detritus. Yeah. Yep. Lemmings 2, The Tribes, 1993. Now, while I said that adding elements to this game does sort of too many cooks, you know, Too many cooks.
Too many cooks.
Yeah, oh man, what a video that was. Anyway, this game I think is actually brilliant. It took me a very, very long time to appreciate it. Like,
it is.
I did not like it as a child much. I thought it was just like, I thought it was just Lemmings but ruined.
I had no such trouble.
Lemmings but overcomplicated.
I thought it was Lemmings but like beefed up.
Oh, now I think it's absolutely excellent, and I wish I'd given it more time, because what it offers is, honestly, it almost, even though the essential gameplay is the same, you've got to save the lemmings,
yeah,
it feels very different, because there's a lot more focus on lemmings using controlled skills, you know, like with the fan that you can direct them and stuff.
Yeah, that was difficult, though, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, it was very difficult. But
Lemmings 2, you had loads. At least
40.
Yeah, because there was just 8 kinds of lemming in the original one, right? 8. Whereas in this, it's just like, oh, yeah, we've come up with loads. We've just come up with millions of them. And people object to that, but to me, that was what was so cool about it.
Well, it lets you, there's a practice room where you can try out as many of the skills as you want.
Oh, I love the practice. You know, I would say that I definitely played, there's more than one practice room. There was, I think, 2, an Egyptian one and a snow one. And I played on those the most out of any part of the game. Because I was just mucking about when I was that age on the Amiga, you know what I mean? I wasn't trying to finish games. And so you could just set up cycles of lemmings, like, oh, they're all going to walk around the whole level this way and do this and do this. And in the snow one, you would have them all walk over to the, you know, the top of the slope, and then they could all be skier lemmings, and they would ski down it. It was beautiful, right?
It's a joy, yeah.
The thing about lemmings is that they were, what, 7 pixels tall or something? They were just little locked men. And yet, they were brilliantly animated in everything that they did. And I think the real standout way, people talk about how the hair bounced, and it did, and they talk about how their arms and feet flopped at, like, clown's shoes, and they did, even though they're only, like, lines of 3 pixels each. But the real moment where you're like, oh, an animator did this, is the moment when they open their little umbrella. So they're falling. You click them, dong, and they open their little umbrella, and there's this brief pause where they're like, their fall is stopped, and they go up a little bit, or at least they stop with the feels like they go up, and then they start to drift down. It's exactly like Disney's Alice in Wonderland, when her skirt opens up as she falls down the rabbit hole, and she kind of like it's probably based on that animation.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's absolutely brilliant. Well, Lemmings 2 never dropped that ball. These brilliant different Lemmings, you know, abilities now were all just as well realized. Same little sprite. They didn't change it. They didn't spoil it. They just added more stuff for them to do.
Well, and little things like the diggers using like a shovel. Just little things like that, even like the glue pours, the way the jetpacks strap on the jetpack, you know.
Oh, yes.
It's just extremely well done.
What else did they do? Do you know, I'm relying on my memory for this. I didn't refresh my memory for this
glue,
podcast.
They pour a bucket of glue.
That's one.
That was a fun one.
There was the guys who just get out a stereo and start dancing to the music.
Yeah.
Those were good ones.
Yeah.
And then, yes, there were the fan-based ones, such as Super Lem, who would unzip his lemming body. And, like, out of it would come a Superman lemming, and he would fly around, and you would have to... The mouse cursor now became a little spinny fan.
You could turn it into a little fan, yeah.
Did you have to... I think you had to hold the mouse button down to get it to spin.
And that might be the case, but there is an icon on the HUD that you can click that turns it into the fan.
Okay.
But it might just be the right mouse button by default. I might be wrong about that.
Oh, well, what I mean is that when you had the fan, it wasn't always necessarily spinning. I think you had
to hold... No, it wasn't. No, you have to press the button to spin it. Yes, sorry, I did misunderstand you.
No, you're right there. I hadn't realized that. Yes, of course you have to select the fan. Yes, of course you do. I was thinking, like, well, when you've got a super lemme, you just get the fan. But no, that would be ridiculous. You couldn't do anything else then.
It's right next to the nuke, so good luck with that if you have bad aim.
Oh, dear.
But... the way it changes the game in another more gameplay-based way is the previous game, plus I know what it means, the idea is here's a level, you have to rescue at least 60% of the lemmings and then you pass.
Yeah.
In this game, you can rescue as many lemmings as you want, but then on the next level, you're only going to have those lemmings that are still alive.
Oh,
it creates a continuity. Now, you can go back to levels you've already beaten and redo them in an attempt to rescue even more lemmings, so you have more for the next stage, because some of them aren't completable without enough lemmings. To get a gold medal on each tribe, I believe you have to save every lemming in every stage.
Darn.
Or at least meet a certain threshold.
That's right. Yes, I forgot. There's a little like award ceremony screen at the end of the level, isn't it?
But that's how it went.
Yeah.
So it incentivizes learning how the game works. It doesn't punish the player for losing lemmings so much, you know? You can still progress, but you will need to go back and do it. I think that's a more elegant way of solving the difficulty issue, so to speak. And another cool thing about Lemmings 2 is this is the game that kind of created the Lemmings world, in a sense. They went from being abstract little creatures to being furry little creatures that live in this interesting world of magic and sorcery and...
Because the idea there
was... Oh, it's all just very lovely.
The idea with the 2 was that there was this big circular talisman which had... gone and got broken into bits and exploded everywhere, and you had to go and get them all to reunite the tribe or whatever. And so now you had all these different, it was called Lemmings 2 the Tribes, because the different like sets of levels that you could play were themed in different ways. So you had standard classic ones, but then you had like Scottish ones and ninja lemmings. Ones and stuff.
Yeah, the shadow lemmings, the ninja ones.
Yeah, sports ones.
The Egyptians, which...
Yeah,
in Lemmings 3, they all do the Egyptian walk when they're walking, which is amazing.
Of course. Yeah,
best thing about the game.
And they were all different. Like they actually did, having playing the different tribes did change the sprites in various ways. I can't remember what the Egyptian lemmings looked like.
Probably it might have been that they might have been doing that, and I forgot. But yeah,
I'm just going to quietly in the background look at videos of it while we talk.
But Lemmings 2. Yeah, because it introduced a continuity to the Lemmings, to the story, a world. I mean, the game, the original Amiga game, it shipped with a quite lengthy storybook in the box about the story of the Lemmings. Yeah, it did. It's supposed to come with a little book, yeah.
Well, I actually had a legal copy of Lemmings 2. I don't remember a lengthy book, although now you say it, I do remember a sort of unfoldy thing that had the map on, so maybe that had it.
It might just have been the manual was particularly large and had all this lore stuff in it.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, maybe I just didn't ever read the manual, because I was like, I know how to play Lemmings.
Yeah, you got to read the manual. If you don't read the manual for Lemmings 2 and 3, you're just completely out of luck, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But no, Lemmings 2 came out, it was Amiga, PC, you know, it hit the Mega Drive, it hit the SNES, genuinely quite good versions as well.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to praise the Mega Drive version of Lemmings, because... while obviously it's not ideal control-wise without the Mega Mouse, which no human being on the planet has ever seen, it has a lot of new levels. There are many, many new levels. There are two whole extra difficulties called Present and Sunsoft, Who Made the Poor? And they're just laced throughout the game. Are loads of new, different levels to what the ones that were in the original, which is odd, but... welcome when you're such a big fan that you've played it so many times.
Yeah.
And of course it had the multiplayer of Lemmings, which is actually a huge amount of fun. Nobody I know has ever actually played it. Where you have two teams of Lemmings and you can kind of mess with each other's Lemmings by building in their place and screwing around with them.
The thing about that is that was in the original Lemmings from the off.
Yes, it was,
The problem was that basically, nobody had two mouses for their Amiga. Because you never have two mouses, do you?
Why would you need two mouses?
No, the only time anyone ever buys a mouse, then as now, is when the previous mouse has broken. So the only time you would ever happen to have two mice is if, I don't know, you got one in a pack with something. And
maybe if you had two mice and you had them both plugged in at once, you would be like a Lemmings pro.
What, playing with both hands at the same time?
I don't know how it would make a difference. You wouldn't have two cursors, but imagine, God.
Well, you could play two-player games against yourself, and then you would.
Yeah, but then who wins? There's no victory if it's a cheat.
No, but you've mastered the game, though. You've got really good.
That's a good point. Lemmings 2, yeah, did well all around. Very good game, very well reviewed game. Great looking, great sounding, just generally excellent. Unfortunately, I personally can't say the same for its follow-up, which was known as All New World of Lemmings or The Lemmings Chronicles, 1994.
That is the first time it ever occurred to me not to want to get a Lemmings game, and so I never did. I never played that. Why not? What was it? Like, when I remember looking at it and going, oh no, they got this wrong, and I think it's because they changed the sprites.
They did. They made them bigger. Yeah.
Bigger and like not as well animated and stuff.
Yeah, smaller levels, more compact. Now, the thing that bugs me about this game, and this is going to sound a bit weird, on the first of the classic levels, you have a skill which is Turner, and it makes you turn around and walk the other way.
Okay.
And I immediately just thought, like, well, they're not lemmings if you can influence the direction they're walking. Are they? Like, that's not a puzzle. That's just like, look, we've got a new thing. And the only reason it's there, and I stand by this, it's there because they didn't want to think up more puzzles without it, if that makes sense. Like, it's very clear. Yeah. It's a very lame capitulation to sort of... I don't mean laziness, because I never say that about developers. I just mean... I don't know how to describe it. It's half-assed. It's a half-assed Lemmings game.
Well,
Lemmings is one thing, which is Lemmings completely outside of your influence apart from these powers. You cannot influence the direction they walk in unless you have blocker. If you can just turn them around manually, what you're playing is not Lemmings. It's just some other game like Humans or some other RTS.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And that bugs me.
Lemmings 3 had the feel of someone else making it. That's the trouble. And that may be the case or not. I don't know.
And it wasn't finished. There were only three tribes, and in the manual it says the rest will be added via data discs.
Really?
None of them happened.
Is the other thing that bugged me. Having expanded Lemmings out to these different many tribes, to now suddenly pull it in and go like, no, now there's just three. That actually might serve a purpose. Like that might improve the game in some way they understand. But looking at it from the outside, to me, I was like, well, no, then you've taken stuff away. I don't want that. And yeah, we were back to, it kind of looked like Lemmings 1 in that we were back to a very limited number of things you could make your lemmings do.
Yeah.
And it just felt like a step back, and it felt like somebody else kind of getting it wrong and the momentum not being there.
It was a step back in most ways. And what you say about them scaling down the world like that, it's a shame, because with Lemmings 2, there had been a little bit of a marketing blitz, because you had, for example, there was a very, very short-lived magazine called Max Overload. That featured comic strips.
Two issues long, I think.
Two issues long. It featured comic strips based on various video games, almost as a competitor to Sonic the Comic.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
And one of those was, of course, Lemmings. And it was beautifully drawn.
Yeah.
I think... Now, I'm not 100% on this, but I have a very vague inkling that Richard Elson may have had some level of involvement.
Oh, really?
Yes, but that might be absolute bollocks.
Right. Well, why have you got that idea then?
I don't know. I'm vaguely remembering this notion of Richard Elson, the famed UK Sonic artist, drawing a lemming. And maybe I might be mistaking that lemming for Knuckles or something. I genuinely don't recall.
Well, he may have done a cover or something, mightn't he? Can't remember. I don't think he drew the comic, because I've got an image of the comic in my head, and I don't know who did it, but I'd be more inclined to say it was someone like Casanova's or someone. Lots of black ink lines. It was about this sort of professor of lemmingology telling you about what they are, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it was not bad, but again, only lost two issues. The other strips were like Chuck Rock and like Green Dog and stuff like that, I think.
That's right, yeah.
The second rate. It's like the Stuart Gipp in Video World magazine. That's a bit of an obscure reference, sorry.
Well, it was like, I think it was all games that were available on Sega machines, not Sega games. And so they were picking from what you could call a second tier of game that Sonic the Comic hadn't already got dibs on, except, of course, Lemmings, which is top tier game. that I mean, he happened not to have done.
I think Lemmings could have sustained a fairly lengthy series of comics, to be honest.
Oh, you can keep... They could keep doing it because they're Smurfs. Like, it's... You know, you just have, like, you have one guy who's a blocker lemming and one guy who's a climber lemming, and you come up with their adventures. You could definitely do that.
Yeah, he just keeps climbing stuff. And like, stop climbing stuff. What are you climbing stuff for? It's like, it's in my nature, baby. I've got to climb. Yeah. DreamWorks presents Lemmings.
Oh, no.
They're all doing the face.
Since we're talking about Marketing Blitz, I mean, I have here on the table, in case they would be of any use, the two Lemmings Adventure Game Books.
Oh, I was going to bring those up. I'm looking at them right now as well.
The
Genesis Quest and the Hypnosis Enigma.
Yeah, amazing names, aren't they?
Who are they by again?
I'll have to reach over and look at them. Nigel Gross and John Sutherland.
Oh, absolute legends, Nigel and John. Big NJ legends, thank you very much.
That's what I call them.
My copies of these books have been poured through so extensively, they are tatty beyond recognition, because I loved these.
I loved them, but I guess I didn't do them very often. I just love the concept of them, because they're choose your own adventure.
I just cheated my way through them. Get a dice? What am I, some kind of nerdlinger?
They're choose your own adventure game books,
yeah.
In which, instead of being like, oh, if you want them to go this way, turn this to this number, it's like, all right, how many blockers have you got left? How many of the... And you're keeping track. You're supposed to be writing on the inside page, but I've got here a piece of paper that I wrote it all down on and drew some little lemmings on. And it's like...
Of course you did.
Yeah, and it says, like, my list here is, like, on beach, I've got 6 jumpers, I've got 6 attractors and 10 diggers, and in the space levels, I've got, like, 6 magno boot stompers and things like that. So it's quite... And this is for just one of the books. It's quite involved what you have to keep track of. It's like a game you're playing. It's brilliant stuff.
It was like, here's like the 40 skills from Lemmings 2. You need to pick like 10 of them. If you pick the wrong ones, too bad, suck it up.
Right, is that how it works?
As cool as it is, and it is cool, I would suggest perhaps not the best designed game book.
Okay,
in terms
maybe.
Of being beatable. But, I mean, what is, really? It's just a lot of fun. No kids were playing them properly. It was just another way to experience the life of the Lemmings vicariously.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm looking at the bit on the inside here, and it's like, so you start off with 50 lemmings, and you're going to have to be very careful because that number's going to go down, and you're keeping track of that. And then it goes, because there are so many different types, here's a list that might help you make the right choices later on. And then, sure enough, all 40 of the different kinds of lemming are named here. And it's like, most of the names are self-explanatory. And you'll soon find out what the others do as you start to read the book. So you're just flailing in the darkness. You're like, oh, I guess I'll have... Obviously, I'm having Super Lem. Maybe I'll have a Laser Blaster. That sounds good. Shimmier? I don't know. You just have to guess. It doesn't give you any clue as to what they'll be for.
It's extraordinarily difficult in the way that the game itself isn't. But I'm very welcome. I'm very glad they exist, these game books.
Nice. Just because of the advancement of the genre of adventure game book generally. Like... That changes things.
I want to do an episode in the future about adventure game books, and I'm going to try and get someone in that field to come on. So look forward to that.
That would be cool.
Now, all new World of Lemmings can go away. We've talked about that. There really isn't much more to say about it. It's not a bad game, but it's not Lemmings. You know,
right.
It's something else.
I really want to highlight that they got the sprites wrong. They do not move as well.
They don't look good.
No, they don't. And that was the thing about... Right. And this going forward, this is going to be an important point. Because Lemmings was just something a computer can do gamified. It was like, here's like, if it was done worse, it might not have been as good of a game, even if basically all the same game elements were there. But because they got the right look, they got the sprites correct, they got the animation of the sprites correct, you... thought of them as little guys, not as little pieces, playing pieces on a screen. And they never got that again. Like, maybe never in the series again. And that, I think, is a key part of why we've never latched onto a Lemmings sequel beyond Lemmings 2, The Tribes.
Because
they never look real.
I would have to agree with that, yes.
It's just a little, it's just a little thing. Quality control. It needs to be right, and then you'll latch onto it and you'll be like, oh, okay, I'm in this world, I'm doing this thing. And if that's not there and they just look like sprites to you, you're never going to fully be on board.
I agree with that. some of the spin-offs that we're going to talk about, I like, but none of them are a match for the original Lemmings, which is a game that I firmly believe deserves to stand up alongside the likes of Tetris and Pong.
God, yeah.
As a singular idea that's never been bettered in its genre, ever.
Yeah, no.
There's a reason people still keep playing Lemmings. That's because it's timeless masterpiece.
And the thing is, Tetris and Pong, when people talk about like the history of those games, they can point to like, oh, before Pong, there was like, you know, super light tennis or whatever. You know, that's not true, but whatever. Mm. There are precedents for these games. Nothing for Lemmings. It's, they came up with this thing out of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
And no one else ever really iterated on it. Like,
you can't iterate on it because it's flawless.
Yes.
It's literally flawless.
Yeah, we're not doing... That's not a bit we're doing, no. Listeners. It's actually the case.
Taking aside some possible issues with like individual levels that people may have.
Yeah, of course.
The game's structure and skeleton have no errors. Like, yeah. the choice of skills is perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. Everything about the game is just magnificent. The graphics are magnificent. The music is magnificent. Level design, mostly great. Maybe not perfect, but you know, that's what makes it good, that it's not perfect. It still feels like original, it's made by a people.
The original, this is something I was going to say earlier, but forgot, the original Lemmings. And I think it feels like this isn't the case in some of the sequels. And this is kind of what you were talking about a minute ago. The original Lemmings was, in fact, I know for a fact, this isn't a guess, the levels were designed because they were trying to make levels for each other to be stumped by in the team. Before there was a, you know, before Psygnosis were on board and they had a publisher, they were just making this thing. They would be like, all right, I've made one, try this. And they would be making them for each other. And so they got very good at making them. And they were like, you know, they would play it. And if someone on the team could finish it quite easily, then they would add an extra obstacle to make that more difficult. And so they were, each level was someone's creation that they cared about and really wanted to impress the rest of the team with. And that shows. And then maybe in some of the future games, it's just like, well, we've got to put obstacles and a way for them to go, and there you go, the end.
Agreed. However, a game that nobody is playing is 3D Lemmings, released in 1985.
3D Lemmings.
1985, PC, PS1, Saturn. I would contend, and I mean this with a real, I wouldn't say passion, but there is some intensity behind what I'm saying. This might be the worst game ever made.
Oh, gosh.
Like, this isn't just a bad Lemmings game, it's a betrayal of the Lemmings ethos. It's the furthest that a game can get from that kind of perfect simplicity that made Lemmings so enjoyable in the first place. It is a perverse bastardization of what made Lemmings good.
Yeah.
And I wish it had never been made. I absolutely despise it.
It's so clear. It's one of those games from that era where it's incredibly clear at every moment, at every click, that the only reason this game exists is because everything's got to be 3D now.
Yeah, yeah.
And they tried. You can see the logic behind their decisions and like how they made how they translated it into 3D. But what it adds up to is, well, it shouldn't be.
It's Lemmings is not about. How can I put this? Once you know how to solve a puzzle in Lemmings, occasionally the execution can also be an issue. It's rare those two things intersect in the game because they know it's not particularly fair. If you have a very hard puzzle but a very laborious physical element to solving it, they don't do that too often because they know it's not good level design. Lemmings 3D, every stage is a rare hell. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, even seeing what you're doing is a tall order. They've given you all these camera options, and absolutely none of them are any good. They're all horrible.
That's the thing, because it's so early. in terms of like 3D games, existing games being converted to 3D, but also a lot of the standards of 3D gaming hadn't really been established yet. So
yes,
the keyboard and mouse setup, you have to have the mouse in your left hand and the, you don't have to, you can switch it, but by default, if the mouse in your left hand, left and right mouse buttons are swapped to accommodate that, even though people who use a mouse in their left hand, that's really counterintuitive. And then you have your right hand on the number pad on your computer keyboard, and you can't hold two keys at once. So you can't like turn the camera while moving it. You have to like angle it, then move it where you want it to be at that angle and go up and down. And you can never look up and down. It's always attached to the horizon.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, so the lemmings are, they had to make it 3D. So the lemmings are now walking around in three dimensions and all the levels go all over the place, which means that the whole basic tenor of what lemmings is, they're gonna keep walking and stuff will get in their way and you have to get them past them. Now you have to worry about, well, where are they walking? It's not like, it's not back and forth, it's all over the place. And so now you're having to put down not just blocker lemmings, but like blocker and make them go that way lemmings.
It's really just a horrible experience from start to finish. I can't stand this. I don't think it is actually one of the worst games I've made, but it might be one of my least favorite, just because it's not that. I don't know how to even describe what it isn't. It isn't anything, It's just, I can't imagine having fun on it. I can't imagine anyone ever has had fun playing it.
I have watched a video by a man who did have fun, and he made quite a good case for it.
Oh, fair play.
By the end, I was like, yeah, okay. But here's something that it can't avoid not being. You were saying, I don't know how to describe what it isn't. It isn't. It isn't that perfect thing where the little sprites lock into your soul and you believe them, because the whole thing always looks like a compromise to, based on the fact that, look, I'll tell you a modern equivalent.
Yeah.
The 2D Metroid games, right?
Ooh, yes.
I love those. I love the 2D Metroid games, and I love how you turn into the little ball and bomb a wall, and now you can see the little, what sort of block there are and what tool we have to use on the blocks. And I also love the, Metroid Dread. Brilliant. But one of the compromises that it and the remake of Metroid 2 had to make on the 3DS is that those bits where you have like a block with an icon on that tells you what they do, they now have to be these like sticks that go off into the distance, because it's all got to be 3D and isometric, and you've got to see, you couldn't just bomb a little tiny block out. You could, it would be fine. She'd be able to roll through. I don't know why they did it that way. It's a bad decision. But in the same way with Lemmings 3D, now you can't have a digger lemming, a basher lemming, who on the original one would start punching the wall, and he'd punch a few pixels out of the wall, and he'd punch again and a few pixels, and he'd punch again, and he's making a little tunnel, and you're watching him do it at the appropriate speed for his size and weight and the action that he's taking. In Lemmings 3D, he punches the wall a set number of times, cracks appear in it, and the entire block disappears, because it has to be divided up into three-dimensional cubes, and nothing can change that. They can't move through the cubes. They have to just eliminate them in a single frame.
And I'm going to probably try and go back in time and make this game not ever get made. That's my current plan. See if I can Terminator it.
I can see what they were going for, and I reckon today there'd be a chance that they could make something along these lines and make it work, but like they know not to. They know better than to do that.
Yeah. Lemmings Paintball followed the garbage trash 3D Lemmings for the PC in 1996. Now, Lemmings Paintball is, you'd almost expect an FPS at this point, but it's not. It's an isometric cannon fodder style game where you have a little squad of lems that you can click, left click to make them move where you're pointing, right click to make them fire where you're pointing, straight up cannon fodder. And you know what? It's a lot of fun.
It's a pretty
good little game. Again, here's the major problem. It ain't Lemmings. There is nothing about this game that suggests Lemmings.
Absolutely nothing. I mean, I actually sort of do wonder if it was a cannon fodder game that then got discontinued and, they just put a franchise onto it.
My assumption is that it was something else once.
It
became Lemmings, because that's how I feel about the next game as well, but we'll get to that in a second. Did you play Lemmings Paintball or experience Lemmings Paintball vicariously?
I played the demo.
Yes. That was a good demo.
Must have come on a magazine. And yes, I remember just being like, yes to this. Yes to this as a game. But also like, oh, why am I being led to believe this is Lemmings in some way? But it was very cute. It was a lovely little game with little fellas. Not as good as Cannon Fodder, of course. And that its... Well, I was going to say maybe that's its downfall. But okay, so what it was Cannon Fodder in a 3D isometric way. Because Cannon Fodder was very, very free. This felt a little bit more like Compass Direction-y. And you were, finding levers that make platforms go up and down. There was a puzzle element to it.
You had to
get your lemmings to the end while also, like, shooting. There was a few too many things to do. It wasn't focused, really.
Yeah, it wasn't, no.
But it was good.
The red coat lemmings are the villains. The red coat lemmings, they're called, I believe.
And were they?
Yeah. They're the evil lemmings. The guns
they're just the opposite team, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, just bad lemmings.
I don't really know why, if what you're doing is getting to the end of the level via switches and puzzles, you wonder why what's needed then is shooting.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it's Lemmings paintball because otherwise they'd be shooting each other dead and we can't have that.
Yeah, it'd be Lemmings slaughter.
Imagine this. Imagine if instead of paintball, they'd gone with the Lemmings bend over and fire poos at each other.
That would be incredible.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? We'd still be talking about that today. Well, we are talking about it today. What am I on about?
Yeah, oh, well the amusement
other people would still be talking about it today.
Utterly puerile experience. It would be good, though. They could call it Lemmings Poo Bum or something.
Oh, Lemming. Right. I'm trying to tamper down the extent to which I actually need to laugh at how funny that name was. Lemmings Poo Bum. That's really funny. And I shouldn't be reacting like that because I'm an adult.
Not for the next, not for this 90 minutes, you're not. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Yeah, because it makes you think about poo and bums, isn't it?
I can't even tell if that's why. It's just, it's the words themselves on a base level.
But those words together is almost one word. No, there's no space. It's P-O-O.
Yeah, God, no. There's no space. It's one word.
Maybe I should. I like the idea of like there being a character named that is also appealing. But anyway, I digress.
Let me put it to you that the character, his second name would be Poo Bum. His first name would be Willy.
Oh, I can't.
Willy Poo Bum. That's the funniest name anyone's ever come up with.
What if he was called Willy F. Poo Bum and the F stood for fart?
Oh, I don't know. That's not as pure now. I feel like we're Lemmings 3
you're right,
it
you're
now.
Right, you're right. I've assumed it's a hat on a hat. It's a hat on a hat.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. It's simply Willy Poo Bum. You heard it here first, Retronauts listeners. You tuned in wanting to hear about Lemmings, but instead you're having to hear two man children try and come up with a name, Willy Poo Bum.
Come up with the funniest name anyone's ever thought of. Yeah.
Oh, God Almighty. I'm really sorry, Jeremy Parrish. I promise I am actually good at doing this. Lemmings Paintball, though, you know, good game, but not as good as the other game that was released in 96. Wow, what a big year for Lemmings this was.
Yeah.
The Adventures of Lomax, or on PC, simply just Lomax. Now, this is a little gem, in my opinion. I really like this game. It's a platformer, a side-scrolling platformer, with the most astonishingly beautiful visuals.
Yeah.
Done by this sprite artisan, Henk Nieborg. I don't know how to pronounce that name. Henk Nieborg, Nieborg. I'm sorry if it's wrong.
Okay.
He also worked on things like Contra 4, Battle Axe, and The Misadventures of Flink, which this game, I am convinced, was once a sequel to, because it is almost identical. It has there's quite a few shared assets or redrawn assets.
That makes so much sense, and more sense than it being anything to do with Lemmings.
Yeah. Now, the premise here is that a villain brilliantly named Evil Ed, not Pooh Bum, sadly, has kidnapped or taken away turned all the Lemmings into evil Lemmings. So you've got these kind of gross, sneering Lemmings jumping around, and when you destroy them, when you use a spin attack or throw your hat at them, because that's what you do in this game, they turn into regular Lemmings. They go yippee, and they run off, and it's great.
Right.
So
but
the
it's
idea
just
is,
a platformer, isn't it? Like, it's not a platformer where you're climbing and blocking and things. It's
no, but you do get some lemmings abilities in the game. Like, oh, you get digger, so you can dig through walls and things.
Right.
And
see,
one
I only found out about this entire game, you know, in the last few years, watching retrospective YouTube videos about things.
Yeah, but the thing about this, though, while it isn't lemmings, this. I'm going to just say it straight up. Outside of Lemmings and Lemmings 2, this is the one. This is the best Lemmings game, in my opinion. And it has nothing to do with Lemmings. It's completely undercooked from Lemmings.
Yeah.
But
it just looks great. It has real... Do you know what it looks like? It looks like if Amiga platformers lasted another generation.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, yeah. If Amiga's 10 years on, basically, yeah.
Yeah. And how long it was? Was it 10 years on?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you just mean
the thing
how it
is,
looks.
I was just saying random numbers.
Right, yeah. Based on how
I wasn't even listening to what you were saying. I just said a random number.
No,
for
God.
It was complete coincidence.
We don't come here to listen to what each other's saying.
Yeah, this game is one of those old school games that has retained its capacity to impress solely because it is 2D. Old 3D games, as fun as they can be, are not showpieces. But this game, no matter when you play it, is going to look great because of how stylized it is, because of how well drawn it is.
This is on PlayStation, isn't it?
PlayStation 1 or PC, yes.
And the thing is, it looks... Maybe I'd have to look at it to check, but to me, this looks better than, like, Rayman 1, which
is the only sort of thing doing
this kind of thing at this sort of time.
Rayman 1 is a nice-looking game, but this game looks better, definitely. It's less content-rich. It's easier, which is probably a good thing. The only problem with Lomax is I'm not going to pretend it's not a little bit, you know, generic as a platformer, but it's made up for by the visuals. Now, people will say gameplay is king, visuals don't matter. Those people are completely full of diarrhea, because obviously they do matter. They're the most important thing about any game, what you can see, how you interact with what you can see, you know?
Yeah. You got to have that polish on it.
The graphics don't have to be amazingly beautiful. They have to be perfect for the game you're playing.
Game you're playing, like Lemmings 1. Playing.
Yeah, Lemmings 1 is not going to win any awards, but
it
hundreds of awards, didn't it?
Yes. It doesn't really look pretty, Lemmings 1. It's just correct.
Mm. Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. I've talked about this before because I'm a massive whinger, but that's one of my most disliked things gamers say about graphics don't matter as long as the gameplay is good enough. Horseshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're totally wrong. They always matter.
Show me a game where the gameplay is great and the graphics aren't. And
there aren't any.
Well, okay, but if there was one, like that one that really big nerds like, where it's like dwarfs making little places to live in, but there's no graphics at all. You will never convince me that the same gameplay, but with really great graphics that fit the game really well, wouldn't be better.
Yeah, of course it would. Yeah. Even things like NetHack, you would just play some other Mystery Dungeon game now with actual, like, visuals that aren't just, like, the letter P.
Hmm.
You know, the first time I played NetHack, I pressed K and it found out you could kick. And it said, kick what direction? I kicked east twice and I died because I kicked a wall twice and I got a gravestone that said, here lies Stu, died by kicking a wall.
That's not what happens when you kick a wall twice.
Not in real life, it's not.
No, you'd have to kick a wall loads of times to die.
You'd have to kick it so many times to die. Exactly.
Yeah,
totally
you'd have to like wear your whole body down to the brain and then kick it with your brain. And then when you destroyed that, then you might die.
What if you?
But not before.
What if you got a mouse to hit you on the head with a big mallet? And
you might die then.
You got all cracks all down, you're like a vase. And then you walked over and kicked the wall and then you would just shatter.
Well, before that, you would open your mouth in a big wide grin and your teeth would one by one crack and shatter first.
Yeah, but no, they would, before that happened, they would swing and they would be piano keys.
Yeah, or like make a harmonica noise, one or the other.
Yeah. I was watching some Tom and Jerry the other day and there was a bit where Jerry made friends with this little canary bird thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's flying back into its cage and Tom just pops up and it flies directly into his mouth. That's hilarious, okay? Mm-hmm. And the way Jerry reacts is to run up to Tom, pull his mouth open, and he's just doing a rictus grin.
Yeah.
And then he just pulls a hammer out of nowhere and smashes all his teeth. And the sound it makes when he hits them is like a gunshot noise. And it's one of the funniest things I've seen in absolutely ages. I cannot even express to you how funny that violence is to me. It's so, it comes out of nowhere. It's completely buck wild violence. I mean, you know, that relates back to Lemmings again, because Lemmings are surprisingly violent, and that's funny.
Yes.
Like, when your Lemmings get, like, I know this is a bit, okay, you know what, I'm going to give a little disclaimer here, because the imagery is obviously pretty loaded, but when your Lemming gets snared up and lynched, it's quite funny, because it's a Lemming, you know?
When does your Lemming, when does that happen?
Aren't there gallows, traps that are just gallows?
And oh, I'm sure I bet there are.
I'm sure there are.
Yeah, there's all sorts of bespoke traps in different levels that I may not necessarily have got to.
There are man traps that, you know, like bear traps that snap together, and when they snap together, the Lemming's little head just pops off. And it's
hilarious. I do remember one, which I think is in Lemmings 2, where a big thing in the ceiling, like a big piston thing, would slam down, and when it went up again, there would be a certain amount of goop sticking the two halves together.
That was actually from the first game as well.
The first one?
That was disgusting. I'm still upset by it. But, but Lomax, if you can get hold of it, which you can, because everyone can, because it's 2022, just go on the internet, there is no legal way to buy this game, so I urge you to play it however you can. It's brilliant. Honestly, you'll love it. You'll fall in love with the visuals and you'll want to play through it. You might get a bit frustrated with the difficulty, but it's very doable. So stick with it if you're into it. It's a lovely game. You need to get as far as World 2 so you can see the absolutely gorgeous Dark Forest levels. They look incredible. They look even better than the first few levels somehow. I think my favorite Lemmingsy touch about this game is the fact that the exit from each level is the trapdoor from Lemmings. But that's, now I think about it, that's incorrect, isn't it? Because you don't leave through the trapdoor. Though he does enter through the trapdoor and go, let's go.
Yeah.
So it does make sense in a way that he leaves through the trapdoor. But he should leave.
I think it makes sense because, you go out, the trapdoors come, they must go somewhere. You could go up a trapdoor if you could get up there. But they go in through little houses instead, which presumably also lead to the trapdoor dimension.
Well, you know what I have to say to that?
What?
Don't you open that trap door. You're a twat if you dare.
If you dare. Bow, 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 bow. Yeah,
that's the best. That bam, 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 that is awesome.
Yeah.
It's such a good noise. It's almost as good as the barump from the Popeye and Son. Sorry, I was just an obscure reference to a thing that you tweeted once. I apologize to the listeners.
Brr.
It was a barump, wasn't it?
Brr. I was wondering where, like, under what circumstances I had said that to you, whether it was on a previous Retronauts.
No, it was on Twitter. You were talking about Popeye and Son's ending, and you said that it was just a very good barump, and it stuck with me because it is a good barump. I can't deny it.
It's a barump is where it goes in the background of there's one in Shake a Tail Feather, there's one in various things, and it's got to be one. The one in Popeye and Son, there's just one.
Yeah, it's almost buried in the mix as well, as if they're ashamed of it.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be.
It's a fantastic barump. Anyway. Next, there was a dry period. No Lemmings for 4 years. Absolutely zero Lemmings.
The thing. There shouldn't have been, really.
No. Maybe Windows 95 Lemmings came out in this time, which was a very interesting version of Lemmings. They ported Lemmings to Windows, like, natively. Yes, and there are no more Lemmings. Not only could you now save your progress, you know, each level it would save, you could speed up. You could click a fast-forward button, which was in Lemmings 2, I believe, but it was now.
I'm looking at footage of that, and and it's a bit gross to look at because
it's not good to look at. No,
well, the game itself looks fine, but the bit at the bottom where all the different icons are is like, you know, Windows 95 UI, and so is the level select. It's all just like standard Windows 95 UIs.
The thing I like about when Lemmings 95, which is a silly thing to like, is it has visual sound effects, so you can play it with the sound off if you want to, if you're doing something else, for example. Yeah. Which means that, for example, when the miner is running out, or the builder is running out of slats, it will say, like, okay, I've got to be really careful here. because this could potentially be offensive. Now, what it doesn't say is tink, tink, tink. What it says is a very ill-advised slur.
Oh.
With the same three letters ending ink, but different first two letters.
Oh.
It's a quite old-fashioned racist slur. Right. And they didn't mean it to be like that. They meant it to be like a chink in the armor. Yeah. A chink in the armor, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the way that the screen says that word three times in isolation is very ill-advised, in my opinion. I just wanted to get that out. Because that happens, and you don't want to be surprised by it. You don't want it to suddenly pop up on the screen.
They should have gone with. Is there anything problematic about tink? T I N K.
Tink or clink, maybe.
Clink. That's the thing. It is a clink, isn't it? That noise. Yeah.
I mean, I think when they brought that feature forward to other versions, they did actually change it to clink or tink because they were like, "What the hell were we thinking?"
Yeah.
Anyway. Lemmings 95 was just more of a stopgap, and it was given away with things like re-releases of 3D Lemmings and Lemmings Paintball and such. If you bought Lemmings Paintball, you got Lemmings 95 pretty much free with it, which is really cool.
Right.
But the next game was Lemmings Revolution, which I remember seeing in Game as a kid and thinking, oh my God, there's been a Lemmings Revolution. Like, this must be the greatest game in the world. Now, it was a long time before I actually got to play Lemmings Revolution. I think I found a copy in a charity shop or something, and I was like, finally, I can experience this complete overhaul of one of the best games ever made. And the gimmick of Lemmings Revolution is that each level is set in a tower that's a little bit like if you've played Nebulous on the Commodore 64, also known as Castellion on the NES, or think of Butter Building in Kirby's Adventure, the rotating stage. It's like that, basically. You're going around, you're rotating around a structure that loops around on itself. So every level loops around on itself. You can never walk off the edge so much. I mean, there are drops, but you can always circumvent them, you know. And it, to their credit, it is just Lemmings again. They haven't jazzed it up with any new powers that I can recall. The only thing they've changed is the structure, where you'll do a level, then it will fan out into two levels. You can choose them and fan out into two more, and it's like a hierarchical sort of structure, so you can get to the end without doing every level, which is also a kind of a cool idea. The problem is the level designs aren't good enough, and the visuals are in 3D, which means they're more imprecise.
Yeah, see, on paper, it's a far more elegant way of translating Lemmings into 3D than Lemmings 3D was, because it's just a 2D Lemmings level. It's just carved into a 3D turny roundy thing, a bit like those bits in Mario Odyssey. Where you're in 2D.
Yes, like those, yes, good call.
It should work, it just doesn't seem to be made as well.
No, it's a real shame, because this could have been alright, Lemmings Revolution. It also has a bug where one of the later levels just does not load, it just crashes the game. I think there's probably a community fix for it, but it's quite funny that the game shipped with such an egregious oversight, I think. Mm. Love it, mate. Obvious crunch pressure. That's what happened there. Very bad. Lemmings Revolution. Yeah, interesting game. Much like most of the games we've described today, it's annoying that you can't just buy it. Like, we'll get to that. But isn't it insane that you can't buy Lemmings anymore? Like,
is that really?
There is no way on any digital service or physical copy outside of secondhand versions that you can just buy the game Lemmings.
What? Really?
There is no way to do it. One of the most acclaimed games of all time.
What?
For good reason. One of the best games of all time. And Sony seems to just be sitting on it.
It would be so simple to just bung it on GOG or Steam or whatever.
Yeah.
And be like, there you go.
You could put that game on Steam tomorrow for £20 with no changes, and I promise you I would pay that money. I would absolutely pay that.
£20, would you?
Yeah.
£20.
Yeah, I'd pay 20. Yeah.
If it came with Ono and Lemmings 2.
Oh, yeah, if it came with Ono, yeah. I mean, if it came with Lemmings 2, even better, but even if it didn't, that's £20. That's theirs, mate. That's theirs. No questions asked. A pony, mate. I think a pony is £20.
But more.
Oh no, a pony is a small horse-like animal. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a little bit like a horse.
Made a mistake.
Okay, I don't think most people would pay £20, but I think most people would pay about a fiver.
I'd like to play Lemmings. Please, could you re-release it? I would like to play it. Which is, what is that song? Because all the other songs in the game are other existing songs.
No, not all of them. Some of them are. Because when they were developing it, the music that they made for it was like, I think they made the Batman theme and the Adams Family theme and stuff. And then Psygnosis. By the way, in my research for this, I know for a fact that despite the fact that we all called it Psygnosis,
yes,
it is really pronounced Psygnosis.
Psygnosis.
Okay? But here's the thing. In all the stuff I watched today, like people who worked at Psygnosis, the people who made Lemmings, they all called it Psygnosis, same as the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually pronounced Psygnosis.
Which is like a condition of the inner skull.
Yeah, it's a condition where you make loads of Amiga games and they're all right.
Out of your head cavities. And you make games in your... Right, when you've got Psygnosis, you produce a lot of Fleming.
Ah, very nice. Yeah, I like it.
Copyright Stu, who's trying to find a way to put Fleming in.
You found a way to do it, yeah.
It was tunes that were copyrights, so they gave it to a bloke who made music, and he went, oh, and he only had a very short amount of time. So he started copying things that he was sure were out of copyright, like, you know, Everyone's a Fruit and Nutcase. No, that's not what it really is. What's that really?
You know, it is Everyone's a Fruit and Nugget. Is it Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy?
No, that's...
Okay.
Which he also could have
similar,
used.
Though.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's the sort of thing he was drawing from. The sort of thing that was in Fantasia, that kind of thing. But then there were a handful of original tunes, which when they come up on YouTube and earlier than YouTube, when they were files you could just download from someone's website, they were called like Tim 1 and Tim 2. So I guess a guy called Tim made the original ones. So there's the one, my favorite, which is like...
Oh, that was good, yeah.
That's the one on the Spectrum. That's why it's my favorite. And if you look up... by the way, I think the Spectrum has the most... I've said this before on this podcast, I think, has the most beautiful version of that tune.
Oh, hang
on. It's the only
on.
Tune in the game. What?
It's the fucking Nutcracker.
There you go.
It's the obvious thing in the world.
What? Why is that? Oh, because that's why it's Everyone's a Fruit and Nutcase, because it's to do with nuts.
Yeah.
That's why they used it in the... But listen, everyone, it was a Cadbury's Fruit and Nut chocolate advert.
From 1976. Yeah.
What? Really?
That's when it started, yeah.
Well, it was playing when I was a kid.
They're not allowed to... Yeah, I remember it too. They're not allowed to do it anymore because it's rude to imply that someone is mentally ill because they don't like a chocolate bar.
No, it was if they do like a chocolate bar. Everyone's a fruit.
Oh, yes.
Everyone's a fruit and nutcase. Here are some ingredients for this chocolate. Dippa-dippa-dee-dee, floppy-dippa-doo-doo.
How did we floppy-dippa-doo-doo.
Sorry. Hey, here's a piece of information I didn't know about the Spectrum. You were asking earlier about how does the Spectrum version work?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it now, and it's basically just all in silhouette, and that's how they make it work.
That's clever. It's like a puppet show.
Yeah, because it does work, you know, and all the animation appears to be in place. But unsatisfied with that one beautiful piece of music. And by the way, you could go on YouTube, you can look up, you know, ZX Spectrum Lemmings OST, and you can listen to the music. But what you'll hear is the music quite fast. In the actual game, presumably because of all the processing power, it was much slower than that. And it was really laid back, and it was just beautiful. Go, find yourself a walkthrough video and listen to it there. It's very nice. But I've just found out some people unsatisfied with that and who are, like, good at, you know, demo scene stuff, because people are really good at making Spectrum stuff now.
Yeah, they are.
They remade the Spectrum game Lemmings, and now it's got all the music in it, or at least loads more of it, and it's all, you know, zizzed up a bit, and it runs faster and stuff. So there's actually
absolute legends.
Beefed
it.
Up. A 2020 edition of the game, so you can look for that. And you know, editor, if you're able to maybe put some of the music from it on, that might be nice. I don't know.
Yeah, put the Nutcracker on. Speaking of the Nutcracker, I would like to crack whoever made this next game in the nuts. hey, let me. No, that's not fair. It was Team 17. They're sound lads.
I know the one. Yeah,
Salt the Earth, mate. Outstanding job.
Good bunch
Lemmings.
Of lads.
Yeah, great bunch of lads. Six more years, dry spell, no Lemmings. And then finally, Lemmings appears on the PSP in 2006.
No Lemmings.
Lemmings, 2006 PSP, essentially a port or remake of the original game, had all the levels from the original, all 120 levels, and a bunch of extra ones. Huge problem. It's in 2.5D, so it's impossible. because you can't do anything with any degree of precision.
Oh dear.
You, as we talked about before, lemmings needs pixel precision. Unless they modify the later levels, which I don't know, because I didn't get that far, because I didn't enjoy it. Lemmings is a certain way. When you make it 3D, when you add all sorts of backgrounds and such that aren't necessary and have the same level design, what you're creating is bad. Like, it is integral to understand that the limitations of lemmings graphically aren't limitations, they are decisions.
Yes. Because the thing is, the Amiga was capable of way more than was displayed in Lemmings.
You could have had like a Zool AGA style constantly moving fruit background or something.
In fact, did you know that some of the contemporary reviews of Lemmings complained that it looked like an 8-bit game and not a modern game?
Yeah, there's a reason for that. It frequently was an 8-bit game. It was released on the NES, it was released on the Sega Master System. Amazing port on the Master System, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very impressive port. Great colors, great. I mean, the whole game was there. It was very, very impressive.
Okay.
But Lemmings on PSP, God bless. Good effort. They clearly cared about what they were doing. They clearly put a lot of effort into it. But unfortunately, making a remake of Lemmings is essentially a complete waste of time.
Well, like, they did it in the sort of, you know, new Super Mario Brothers era, where what people were doing at that time was going.
Yes.
And God, the worst one being the remake of Super Frog. Which just looks gross.
It is hideous looking. That was Team 17 as well. Yeah.
Where people would take an old game and port it over and go like, but now we can do high res graphics, and they would do that, and it just but
you know who do you know who the lead developer was on Super Frog HD?
Is it going to be someone I really like?
Willy Poobum.
Oh, of course it was. That's another. Yeah. That's just the sort of thing Willy Poobum gets up to.
Yeah.
And that means that now we can't cut that out.
Because it's been called back,
Yeah.
That was my plan all along.
Oh, another nefarious Willy Poobum scheme.
The saddest thing about Willy Poobum is I can see this becoming a running gag through our episodes that we're both on. But anyway.
And through our whole lives.
And through our entire lives. I think we've created a new thing, a new meme here.
What they did for that version of Lemmings is they came up with a new design for the Lemmings that they could do cutscenes with and stuff like that. Mm. And the thing is, they look lovely, right? I'm not having a go at the design. There's a couple of problems. They look very much of the time that they were made, which is that, like, I don't know if they were polygonal. I assume they were. But they didn't have, like, that floppy-hairedness. They didn't have that flop to them. That the classic Lemmings did. The original Lemmings walked like clowns, and they had floppy, flippy, floppy hair. And all of that was established before anybody knew they were not meant to be human men.
In this one, they just walk like kind of in formation, quite like looking like quite serious almost.
And it's not as good, and it kind of codifies the design a bit too much to make them too solid.
Yeah.
It looks like they developed them to make an animated series, which they then never made.
A Lemmings animated series would have been fantastic, I think.
Yeah, would have been great. They could have beaten the minions to the punch, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could have, yeah. They should make a new Lemmings game where the Lemmings are just the minions. If that's what it takes to get a new Lemmings, then I'll take it, mate.
Yeah.
I like the minions. I don't know what everyone's problem with the minions is. I think they're funny.
I think it's... I haven't seen their films, and I'm a bit annoyed by them, but I've realised I haven't seen their films, except Despicable Me, which I enjoyed. I bet they're... It's because we see minions in adverts and stuff. They're like the simplest guy.
I don't watch adverts. I didn't see them in adverts. I never see them outside of watching... When I choose to look at the minions.
No, I don't anymore, really.
Outside of my daily minion look, you know.
Like, yes, of course.
I mean, the thing that is, we can't criticise the minions because, like... Yeah, they're very low brow. They sit around and they like look at a bit like the back part of their dungaree springs open. You see their arse, and one of them goes bottom. And that's basically what we've been doing for like 90 minutes.
Yeah, it is.
To be fair,
it's
in those 90 minutes that we come towards the end of our voyage to the Lemmings series, because you know what, the Lemmings series basically ended after this.
Fairly recent mobile game, which the
cares, Dave? A mobile game, a transaction, multi-micro transaction Lemmings. Like, oh, if you run out of blockers, well, then buy 10 lemming dicks and with $40 and buy some more
Buy 10 talismans,
mate.
Which are the in-game
buy some
currency.
More. Yeah, that's nicer than lemming dicks, which is what I
said. But no. It's worth mentioning that the bloke who led that game, he had the right idea at first, and he was going like, well, what? Oh, I'm going to revive the fact that the lemmings were very, very simple looking. He wanted them to be flippy floppy. He wanted them to be little. And no, you couldn't do them pixelated now. Well, you could, but it would be a gimmick. So he instead needed to make them like a really striking silhouette and things like that. Like, he had the right design idea. The problem is, as they were making it, they came across the exact problem that you said, which is that once you're in a mobile game and you're using your thumb, you can't do pixel precision anymore. So, okay, how do we counter that? And I don't know what a good idea would be, but the idea they came up with, which does not strike me as a good idea, haven't played the game, maybe it's brilliant, is that you're not really clicking lemmings anymore. What you're doing is you're getting your, before the lemmings get to certain points in the level, you're hurrying to put down little markers that will make them become a blocker here and a builder there. So you're drawing all over the level stuff you want them to do when they get there. And that's not lemmings.
No, it's not lemmings, but I have to say, it doesn't sound like a horrible idea.
No, it's probably quite a good game and an interesting iteration on lemmings. I would want it to be called, like, I don't know, lemmings something. I would want it to differentiate itself rather than just be like lemmings.
Lemmings, where between each level you can watch an ad for free, and then watching the ad gets you like an extra climber.
Oh my god!
You say that, but I'm pretty sure that's true.
Before we end the podcast, I know you want to launch toward the end, but I do have something that I want to like bring to the episode.
I'm excited. It's
kind of to go at the end, but before we finish. So
let's do it now. Then now's the time.
Okay. So last year sometime, a pal sent me a copy of Lemmings 3, and I don't know why, just as a present. I think they found it in a shop. And
they found it, here's some pop culture detritus. I know who'll like this.
Well, yeah, because I'd been talking about Lemmings, obviously. And so but I don't have the means to play it because, you know, it's like an old copy. It's it's 3.5-inch floppies. It's for IBM PC. So, you know, I love the fact that I have this present of Lemmings 3 and it is genuinely something missing from my collection. But I haven't opened it to actually, you know, to look at, because I know what's in there, a couple of floppies and that's that. But then you told me before this that the manual's worth looking at. So I cracked it open. And Stu, I need to tell you what's in here. It's not what I expected.
I'm excited. So,
first of all, the first thing that met my eyes was, my heart jumped and sang when I saw the interior of the box was the Psygnosis like cardboard inner packaging that I remember so well from Lemmings 2 and that had been sitting around in like the room the Amiga was in at our house since we first got the Amiga, because Lemmings 2 is one of the first things we got for it. And that box had been getting squashed and it's got all my old Lemmings discs in. So it's lovely to see a quite good, you know, not pristine, but, you know, fairly new looking version of this box. That nostalgia aside, I open it up. It's full of stuff.
Whoa.
I don't think this is just Lemmings 3 in here. So what have we got? We've got loads of floppies, all right? So there's the Lemmings Chronicles. Three discs worth of Lemmings Chronicles. We've got one floppy here of just Lemmings 1. They've included Lemmings 1. Holiday Lemmings from 1994.
Oh my god, this is a Lemmings bonanza.
I think I had that pirated. It was like, I think it was a spin-off of Oh No More Lemmings, but it was probably
spin-off. All Christmas levels, yeah. No, it was Oh No. It was Oh No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know why I thought that. Maybe the music. That's got some like Christmas Lemmings music on, I bet. I've got here a registration card. Like, what kind of games do you like? You can write in. Oh, this is an American one. It's to send off to Psygnosis North America, which is in Massachusetts Avenue, Cambridge, but the USA version.
Was in Massachusetts Avenue.
Yeah. I've got here the Lemmings Chronicles manual. There's that. I've got here the Lemmings manual, and it says on it, the Complete Lemmings manual. So I guess this is a version of Lemmings called the Complete Lemmings. So
Is that the really beautiful one with the faded pinks and blues?
The boo-you-you. Well, that, yes. Everything you just said describes it.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
So that's lovely there. And I've got the Lemmings Chronicles manual here, which I'll have a look. Oh gosh, that's nice as well. Yes,
it's like full color, full of lore and story and stuff.
Oh,
it's great.
There's a load of lore and story. There's pages and pages of lore and story.
I'll and jokes and jokes. Don't forget jokes.
Is there?
One of my favorite, I knew I was going to like it when at the beginning in the instructions it tells you just shove the disc into your disc drive.
Oh, I love that.
Shove.
Oh, do you remember when there used to be a sense of humor about computers and games and stuff?
Oh, how I remember. And those days are long gone. Everyone's very serious now. It's
because
like,
someone will shove the disc and then they'll break it and then they'll sue them. And finally,
Look how here comes.
Oh my God.
A remake of The Last of Us again. A remake of The Last of Us remake in which Joel's grief is even more high definition.
There's one last thing in this box.
Oh God, what is it?
Oh, wow. What is in this box is a little cardboard box.
Oh my God.
Just about the size of a CD, but it's not for a CD. It's for floppy disks. It is a boxed copy of Holiday Lemmings.
My
All
word.
New 1994 Holiday Lemmings MS-DOS full standalone game, says the ice skating lemming with a Christmas hat on the cover. 32 all new holiday levels plus 32 bonus levels from 1993. I've got a manual for Holiday Lemmings.
This is outstanding.
Heck.
All that's missing is Lemmings 2.
I mean, yeah, and I've got that.
Well, that's nothing less than a Lemmings bonanza, as I said.
That's exactly what it is.
It's a Lemmings jamboree.
That's exactly what it is. And also, worthy of mention, the Lemmings 1 manual, or Lemmings Complete manual, or whatever it is, has a post-it note stuck to it. Quite long post-it note with some codes written on.
Oh, brilliant.
That the person who played it wrote on. And they've titled this list of codes. There's 4 codes. And they've put at the top of it, Hail, H-A-I-L. Does that mean anything to you?
Hail Satan.
It's odd, isn't it? And then in the Christmas Lemmings box, there is a whole load of codes on a little square of paper that is letterheaded Tensor brand Bauer and Black, trademark of the Becton Dickinson and Company, used under license. So,
man,
little bit of the past there.
You know, this is good because once I bought a big box copy of Simon the Sorcerer from an RSPCA shop.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Inside the box, aside from, you know, Simon the Sorcerer, which I was delighted to receive, there was another box in the box, like a cardboard protective almost thing around the entire outer layer, which I then, for some reason, I must have had some kind of vision or something. I thought, I've got to lift this. I've got to see if there's anything under this. And
that's what
underneath it was a load of clippings from newspapers that were either page 3 topless models or just sexy ladies in general. And I realized someone had accidentally donated their stash, their scud.
Oh, that's so sweet, isn't it?
I know. There was something very sweet about it. And I thought about that and laughed as I was washing my hands. And I couldn't bring myself to dispose of it.
No. No, that's a piece of history. You can't.
I've still got the...
Someone has entrusted you with that, have you?
I've still got that box full of wank fodder. Yeah.
Oh, that's heartwarming, I think.
I know, it's warm. It warms something, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But hey,
because the person who's lost that, at least maybe they'll listen to this and they'll know that it's out there.
They'll be listening, they'll be like, my grot, it's still alive.
Oh, it's still there. And they could think of it as like, you know, it flew the coop. It left the nest. That's the word. That's the phrase.
It left
the nest and it's doing all right on its own.
The interesting part is I also bought some other games and they also had some scud in them. So the same person had evidently spread it out amongst different boxes.
Different Amiga games.
A big box PC, I believe they were.
Okay.
Very strange behavior in my opinion.
Oh, no. One day they'll have gone, where did I used to keep the...
Oh, no. Yeah, it's like that.
Oh, no.
It'll be like the time that I bought... Do you know the game Drawn to Life?
No.
There's a DS game called Drawn to Life where you could draw loads of stuff in the game yourself with a stylus. Like, you could design the hero and you could draw, like, his gun and stuff.
Oh, yeah!
And I drew the hero as a big willy, a massive erect penis, and his balls lay his feet, like, walked on his balls, like...
Yeah, of course.
You know... Really detailed, those are veins and that, you know, big glands. And the gun in that game is like, it shoots white splotches.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, they knew.
Yeah.
They knew what was happening.
They developed it. That was what it originally was. And they the whole idea of like, are you technically you can draw anything you want, but will there be a copy of that game in existence that was ever played that was not what was drawn?
Well, the problem for me is it's like with the guy giving away the stash. Mm. When I was done with the game, I traded it in and I realized that I'd forgotten to erase my character from it. So I like to think is that some small child will buy
that
game.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's a really good job that the person whose fodder that was can rest assured that the right person purchased it. Because it could have been, what if a nun had bought it?
Oh, that would have been awful for them. Yeah, they would have been cursed.
Imagine a nun going back to the nunnery, I can't wait to play Simon the Sorcerer.
Yeah, because they love that. They love Chris Berry up in the nunnery.
Yeah. And so it could have gone south, but it didn't. It went to the right home.
I think it went south more than a few times, actually, mate.
Whoa!
Okay, I think that's about enough for this puerile, childish episode. Probably the most puerile Retronauts episode ever made, actually.
I don't know. We've done a couple of others.
But no, this is definitely the most childish one.
No, do you remember that one about pooing yourself so hard that you shoot up into orbit of the planet?
Yeah, that was quite funny, actually. I don't know. I think I'm still standing by this one as being the most puerile episode that we have done and anyone has ever done of anything. Okay. But I'm glad that we did it, and I'd like to say, I hope you enjoyed this extremely silly journey through the Lemmings series. Now, bear in mind, if you'd like to play any of the games that we have listed in this episode, you can't. You're out of luck. Sorry. So, David, where can our delightful listeners witness your works and behaviors?
Leavings, yeah. Well, I've already mentioned Sonic the Comic, the podcast. That's out every 2 weeks, and it is about the old Sonic comics we used to have here in the UK.
Very good.
Like, Sonic has been fully retconned now. Like, everything everybody knows about Sonic is totally different to how it was in the 90s. And our comic was actually about how he was in the games and like, what that was like. And there was they did comics of other stuff, like we mentioned earlier. They do things like Kid Chameleon and Golden Axe and stuff. So if you're interested in the idea of that, like a Sega Games comic and how they tackled those stories, come and listen to us. We cover it all. And there's loads of them. We're up to like 90 episodes by now.
Yeah, and it's amazing how far you've come through it.
Yeah. We're really keeping the thing going. And there's a nice community around it and everything. That is Sonic the Comic, the podcast. You can find it at stctp.zone. Or just, you know, you're not going to go there. You're going to look it up in your pod thing.
And it's a tremendous podcast. And I mean,
Stu's been on it.
I have been on it in case you needed some further incentive.
Yep, and it was a good episode.
I was on it and it was quite funny. Yeah, we talked about Jelly Invaders. It was good.
Yep. And also, you can find me on Twitter at Demon Tomato Dave. I'm also Demon Tomato Dave on YouTube. I've got a couple of quite good videos on YouTube you might want to go see. But they're very old because I've been concentrating on making this podcast for the last few years. There you go. That's basically who I am.
Oh, that's good. That's all a lot of good stuff, really, now, isn't it? I feel
make good stuff.
I do. You do. It is true. I feel like I should, at this point, consider plugging my book that's coming out.
You should. What are you talking about?
I'll keep it brief, but I do have a book coming out through the press run label of Limited Run Games.
That's the thing, it's relevant as well to the topic of the podcast.
It's called All Games Are Good, and it's about how you can find joy in extremely silly or derisory things in video games.
When you turn to the last page, does it say Accept Lemmings 3D?
It does, yeah. It's embossed into the back cover. But no, it's a collection of games writing that I've done. Lots of brand new stuff in there as well. And everything that is previously printed is revised heavily by both me and very intelligent editors who are much better than me at noticing what I've written and saying.
I'm going to have to get that. Stu does good games writing. If you've only heard him and haven't read him, you should go and read him. He does.
Thanks. If you like your games writing with a little bit of silliness and weird obsessiveness about things that nobody else cares about,
like they used to when you could shove a disc in.
Yeah, exactly. Then All Games Are Good coming out, I think, next year, probably reasonably early next year. I don't know exactly when yet. You can also listen to me on, well, Retronauts and the Dillcast, where me, Gobbler Tula, and my friend Grizz are reviewing every single Dilbert strip ever, while slowly going insane from the pain that it's causing us. But Retronauts, that's what you're listening to right now. And, you know, you could be getting even more Retronauts if you're one of those people who only listens to it for free, or as I like to refer to them, beloved listeners. I thought better of that joke halfway through. Yeah. I was like, no, you know what? That's not fair. But for $5 a month, you can join the Retronauts Patreon. Just $5 a month.
Just five?
Yeah, it's nothing. Wow. And you know what? This is how much stuff you get. You get 2 full-length Patreon-exclusive episodes every single month. Episodes that are not going to be made available anywhere else, ever. And also, you get early access to the weekly Monday episodes that will be available everywhere, but you get to listen to them first, so you can be like, I was the first one to hear about Pooh Bum.
Yeah, next
special.
A few days later, when people at school are going like, oh, did you hear about Willy Pooh Bum? You'll be like, yeah, I don't care about it anymore, but I heard about that.
Yeah, I'm over Willy Pooh Bum. That's pathetic.
It's not even funny anymore.
I'm into Dr. Fartsmore now.
Yeah.
That was not as good as Willy Pooh Bum, actually.
Well, the sequel never is.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Oh, by the way, to Big Lemmings fans who've been tearing their hair out throughout the entire episode, I just want to say that I know it's called 3D Lemmings.
Oh.
And we call it Lemmings 3D just because that was the way everything was said.
Yeah, we call it Lemmings 3D as a direct, deliberate diss. We won't even say its name. Yeah. And yes, as well as that, you'll get Discord benefits. So you can come on the Discord and you can listen to me wittering. Because that's what I tend to do on there. Oh, yes, and also you'll get Diamond Fight's excellent This Week in Retro columns, which are both in written form and in speaking form, as almost an extra mini podcast. They're very, very well written and entertaining. I believe Diamond has a book coming out as well, but that will no doubt be very, very good. Thanks very much for listening to Retronauts. This has been episode number, I completely forget which episode number it is as per usual, so I bluff and talk while I look it up, so it seems like I've actually remembered it. 495. That's a lot of episodes, baby.
That's loads of episodes.
So well over 100. Over 100. I mean, I can't even count that high. What happens when you get to 500? God knows.
Nobody knows.
Nobody's ever made that 500 episodes.
No, you shouldn't do it, because that's like the highest that podcasts can go, and then it switches over and all the computers crash.
Retronauts, the longest running podcast of all time.
Might be.
Thanks for listening. It is when we're on it, isn't it?
Willy Pooh Bum, Willy Willy Pooh Bum, Willy Pooh Bum.
Oh boy. That's a good way to put
Willy Willy Pooh Bum, Willy Willy Pooh Bum, Pooh Bum Pooh. Bum Bum. Willy, Willy, Poo.
Dave, please behave, please.
Sorry.
Bye, listeners.
Bye.